Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, welcome to another episode of Tide Chasers Podcast, where we always try our best to be conservative and help you guys out to be a better angler. Now, if you haven't already done so, make sure you like, subscribe, and follow our podcast on either Facebook at Tide Chasers Podcast or on Instagram at Tide_Chasers. Now, me and Dan are also on Instagram. You guys can follow us on our tags in the bio links below. Like I said, we're just here to practice conservation. That's pretty much what this episode is going to be about. Today's episode, we don't have a special guest on today. It's just going to be about me and Dan, and we're going to discuss a little bit about a couple of things that have come up in the past few weeks, you know, that's caught our attention, that's caught our podcast's attention, and we'd like to discuss it. And once again, as always, my co-host is here, Dan. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Thanks for being a part of this. I want to get this information out to our listeners. That way we can have them make some, hopefully there's some better choices being made on a couple of these fisheries that, you know, we're seeing and we're hearing are in trouble from what we see personally and from our friends that are captains fishing these waters. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now that, you know, we have time on our side now, but we don't know if it's going to be that way, you know, a couple weeks from now even. So it's time to have this conversation. So
yep. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, just a reminder that what we're talking about today is our opinions on the fishery. You know, everyone has their rights for their opinions and their rights as a fisherman or an angler. Our job is just, we want to express our side of the story and why we practice what we do. You know, we're not saying we're doing the right thing and we're not saying you guys are doing the wrong thing, but we just want to express that to let people know like why it's very important that we do what we do, you know, to try to save this fishery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot of different things we could do as far as like talking to different people to maybe get regulations set in place. Like we've done that as well. So let's jump right into it, man.
Let's just do this. All right. The species that we're focusing on today with our topic, it's going to be, of course, you got to figure it's going to be sheep's head because that's something we're obsessed with. And also in the line of that is also the gray triggerfish. You know, I've caught a few. Dan's, it's still on Dan's list of catching one. We don't see too many around, but the numbers are, we don't know the exact numbers of them, but that's just something we'll figure out as we stroll along through the season. The first thing is why should we practice catch and release on these species? All right, so from my research, my experiences over the past few years on these, and it's not much. There's other captains that have had a lot more experience than me, but from what I hear and from when I talk to them, that the sheep's head have been around for well over 10-15 years, and they've been in these waters for a very long time. But they haven't been caught onto anglers because the anglers are all so focused on catching other stuff like fluke and stripers and bluefish, which were abundant back then. And you know, as the fishery progresses, things are getting harder to catch. You know, like it's hard to catch a keeper fluke in the back nowadays, especially being the summer. Stripers are around, but there's no keeper size. You know, we got residential schoolies, a few big ones here and there, but the bigger ones are back there and they avoid being caught because they're smart. They know what they're doing. Then we get, you know, togs out of season, sea bass. We don't get keeper sea basses in the back bays and jetties rarely. There's not much to target besides, and then now that people are figuring out like sheep's head is targetable and you know that's what they're going to project most of their focus on.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we always anticipated that people would catch on. We never thought that it would be, you know, this exclusive fishery that only a few of us had the ability to jump in and enjoy. We probably have our hands in increasing the popularity ourselves as we catch a lot of these fish, and we celebrate it because, you know, we still believe that they're Jersey unicorns, no matter what anybody says. And we love the fish. I mean, it comes up on our podcast very regularly because it's one of our favorite species of fish to target and catch. And on the flip side, to conserve. I mean, we want these fish to be around. We just wrapped up a trip, Qua and I, with my father-in-law, my son, with Captain Mike Smith of Never Enough, you know, we down in Avalon. And, you know, we tried for sheep's head in some of our regular haunts, and they just weren't there. You know, we had to go and bounce around all over the place. And these are places where I've caught fish ad nauseum, where Quaz caught fish ad nauseum, and other people that have been doing it. And they're just, it's just these locations are barren of fish at this point. So, you know, you get a bite and you think that there's something there, and then there's nothing there, and you just move on. And it's sad because these are spots where you could regularly fish and have success. And, you know, we've been putting these fish back, and with the hopes that other people are also conservation minded to make sure that we have this fishery around for a while, because there's no real science on it in this area. I mean, we don't know what the population is. We don't know how well they're breeding around here, where they're breeding, where they go. So there's a lot of unknown. So with that being said, you know, with the unknown, we just decide that we'd rather enjoy the fishery and put them back to make sure that others can too.
Yeah, totally. Well, 100%, you know, exactly what Dan said. Just a quick knock off of that trip, you know, literally we went to a couple of spots that we know usually carry fish, dropped. Well, we spent a good almost 2 hours, and, you know, it wasn't a single bite. We know this bridge always has fish, but then we also know that previous weeks, 2-3 weeks ago, we've had a bunch of captains let us know he's seen kayakers out there with stringers of like 12 to 15 fish on a stringer, dead sheeps on a stringer. I was like, I mean, honestly, think about it, folks. Do you really need to harvest 12 to 15 fish? You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, if you're going to harvest one, you know, maybe one, maybe two smaller ones, which is fine. But like 15 sheeps, you know what I mean? That's just like, it's out of control. Like, what are you going to do with all that? I mean, understand southern states. Yeah, you know, southern states, you got South Carolina, you got Georgia, you got Florida, you know, North Carolina. These fish are abundant. You know, each piling has well over schools of 50 to 100. You know, states like that, when they have those numbers, it's you can harvest 10, 12, 15 if you'd like. But, you know, even those states, they have their own limits. You know what I mean? They got the abundance of sheep. Like, Dan took a trip down there. In a day, he landed well over 100 sheep, easily 100 sheep. But they still have their limits down there. What's the limit down there, Dan?
10 fish at 14 inches, 10 fish, 14 inches or better down in North Carolina.
Yeah. So you got North Carolina, you got 10 fish at, you know, 14 inches. Maryland, Virginia, it's 4 fish. No size limit, I think, right? No inches, but they do have, they have a 4-bag limit. Florida, we're at, I think Florida is, I believe, 2 fishes at 10 or something like that. 2 to 4 fishes at 10 inches. But the rarity of catching like an 18, 20 inch fish in Florida, it's rare unless you go offshore. That's the thing.
It's like when you go to Virginia too, they also incentivize the, you know, with the citation program they have down there, which they do really well. They incentivize releasing the fish over 24 inches. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm seeing some of these big fish on people's dinner plates up here, and I'm like, do you realize that you took a 25 to 30 year old fish out of the water? Like, once you take a fish of that size, there's not another one to jump back in its place. You know, that's what we're finding. This fishery, it's very easy to fish out a bridge or fish out an area where these fish are. It's very easy to, you know, affect that fishery in a couple of days time. It really, if you got these same people coming there and keeping fish after fish after fish, and you got your local tackle shop owners bringing clients to these bridges and killing every fish they catch, that's the wrong message to send. I mean, you're basically, as a tackle shop owner, cutting off your nose to spite your face at that point. You know, whether it's clients or friends, you should be the epitome of the kind of person that should be conservation minded, because you make a living off these fish. You make a living of them being there. If they're not there, guess what? It's just like the fluke fishery and everything else. Once these fish start disappearing, what do people do? They find something else to do. You know, it's, and once they have a hard time catching a fluke, now they catch sheep's head and there's no regulations and it's like, go nuts. And that's what people are doing. Like, we're seeing people do that. Not everybody. You know, we have followers we see releasing the bigger fish or releasing all their fish, and that's great. But the people that are sitting there on a tied up to a pylon for all day with 12 fish on a stringer, those are the people that are affecting our fishery right before our very eyes.
Yep. And then I feel like, you know, like, I don't know, Dan mentioned a little bit earlier, like I feel very responsible for what's happening now. You know, like five, six years, I've been posting all the sheeps I've caught, big fish, you know, all my friends that are on the boat, you know, I take them because I like the experience, the feeling when I get them to pick up their very first sheep's head. Like if you've never been on my boat, you know, the excitement that's on our boat when it's a new guy that just got on and he catches his very first one, it's like high fives everywhere. You know what I mean? It's the excitement. And then the fact that we, you know, and the joy of releasing it and getting splashed by them. It's just something else that we love. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel responsible. And for me, it's like, now I feel like I don't want to target them. I don't want to post any more photos. I don't want to, it hurts and bothers me that I get to a point like I don't want to take new people out to experience this fishery, which is totally against what my mind of thought is. Like, I love to take people that's never had one, never caught one, to be able to put them on their very first one. You know, it brings me joy to do that. But the fact that I'm scared that, you know, people are going to find out easier ways to target them, you know, certain spots that we target them, you know what I mean? Like, I'm afraid that it's going to get to a point that I won't be able to let people experience this kind of, you know, fishery if I keep promoting it. So, I mean, I told myself, like, I plan on not taking anyone new that hasn't been on my boat this year. And I'm literally not going to post any photos just for the fact that I can't do it no more. You know, I may save all my photos for the end of the year, and I just may just, you know, pretty much photobomb the end of the season drop. But you know what I mean? It's just like, it's getting out of hand, guys. Like, I understand that everyone wants to catch a fish that no one's caught. We get that. You know what I mean? But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with targeting them, having fun catching them, and releasing them. You know what I mean? There's so much, like, for the amount of time and money you're just going to spend trying to catch one, you're better off going to the supermarket and just picking up a fillet or two, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll put it this way. I spent 5 hours, literally 5 hours, catching bait for our trip. Now, you know, we all have our bait locations, but sometimes it gets tough. And it's just one of those things. Like, it's not an easy fishery, but once you figure it out, then you can get dialed in on it. And, you know, we have people that are doing that. We have people that are dropping in right at specific bridges and catching two fish, running them up to the car, going back, catching two more, running them up to the car, and so on and so forth. It's just, it's sad to see, because again, we've had our hand in this. You know, we've had our hand in the popularity of these fish, because we've all kind of, you know, blown it up. And then now we get into the point where, you know, we get to celebrate a 17 pound plus fish catch in Ocean City, and then there's guys commenting on the post about, oh, you should have eaten that one and things like that. Like, no, that's a special fish, like a 17 pound fish. You know, in a year or two, that's a state record fish. You know, those fish are the ones that need to be in the water still. You know, the reason why we think this fishery is so special is because we get the bigger versions of these fish up here. You know, we get special fish. And if those special fish aren't there to fish for anymore, you know, and we're all fishing for 3 and 4 pounders, maybe then it'll be where people start to get a little tired of the chase. But these special fish should still be swimming. You know, I would never keep anything. I won't keep a Jersey sheep's head anyway going forward, but, and we've all kind of made that pact between us, but, we just want to get the word out. Like, there's a lot of unknowns about this fishery here, and this is not the time to just, you know, feast, I would say. You know, it's, we sat in on a meeting and got our 2 cents in at the very end. And we talked about, you know, we want some, they're talking about bluefish regulations and sea bass regulations and everything. And at the very end, they had this little piece about triggerfish.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Nothing about sheep's head. So we spoke up. It was me, Qua, and then Captain Brian Williams. We all mentioned how, you know, these sheep's head are disappearing at an alarming rate, especially the larger quality fish. And if we don't get ahead of it now, we may not see any more of those fish here in a while or ever. I don't know how that works. I mean, there's a reason why you have weak fish anglers and speckled trout anglers who do not speak a word about what they do. You know, they do not speak a word. It's a very secret fishery. And this is going to end up having to turn into that just to be able to enjoy this fishery if we can't, you know, if we can't do something soon.
Yep. And I totally agree. That meeting was long. We sat 3 hours just to get our little 3 to 5 minutes in. But you know what? We're going to do whatever it takes to try to help push forward. You know, I had a comment on one of the, on that 17 pound fish, you know, they're like, how are you trying to help conserve and push regs on these fish, but at the same time, you're promoting the catch of these fish and, you know, promoting like, you know, that they're unicorns. You want people to catch them. You know, it's hard to find them. There's a difference, guys. Like, we promote the catch and release of these fish. You know, I mean, that's the way we like, we would love everyone to be doing that. No, we don't promote, hey, catch a sheep, keep a sheep, catch a sheep, keep a sheep. For us, every single photo you see us take, it's always a quick catch, release, and a release photo, a release video. I post it all the time, all my release videos. You know, if you look at my Instagram, you know, all my sheep photos, look how great they are. They're impeccable shots, beautiful shots. They look 10 times better than any of these weigh-in dead sheeps on a hook at the bait shops. You know what I mean? That a picture speaks 1,000 words. You know, most of my, if you ever check, you know, we got good, some of our good friends now, like we, Lee Wakefield, the Brett Wakefield brothers, those guys, you see all the sheep that they've caught on my boat. We take fantastic photos, you know, and then we release them. You know, those photos are worth $1 million. You know, you want to take that same fish, drop it out of a bait and tackle shop, throw them on a big ginormous hook and see the dead dull colors of that fish? No. Sheep's head, when they come out of the water, just coming out of water for a quick photo, they have the most beautiful colors, bright silvers, pure black stripes, purple, little purple haze on the gill plates. You know what I mean? Those are gorgeous colors for photos, and they make incredible catch and release photos. You know, it's not worth it. Now, as for table fare, they're okay. They're not the best. You know, Dan's had his share of them. He could tell you how they taste. I mean, they're not the greatest, and they're not the easiest to fillet or clean either. So, I mean, there's so much more out there you could catch or, you know, to harvest. You know, sea robins are great, you know, stuff like that. But, you know what I mean? For us, it's just like, it's sometimes it's not worth the time if you're going to trade in this whole fishery just for dinner. You know, it's an expensive dinner. You know, the whole day of fishing just for an expensive dinner. There's so much more you can do out there.
Yeah. And yeah, I've harvested from some from down south, and my family has all said, you know, hey, they're okay. You know, it's not anything that's like that you got to write home about. But what it is right now is it's an unregulated fishery here. So people can do what they want, and they are. And yeah, I mean, like the two, I caught 2 7-8 pound sheep's head on the Never Enough 2 with Captain Mike Smith. And the best part about it was A, we found them, thank God. And B, watching them swim off. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, they're just not around as much as they used to be. And it's sad, but you know, we're trying to make a difference. You know, we're going to sit in on these meetings. We're going to put the pressure on the guys that are making decisions for us. And while I am a fan of less regulated things in my life, I think this is something that needs it. You know, I don't like over regulation if it's not necessary, but the proof is in the pudding. We've seen it. We've seen that places we fish for these fish are just barren of these fish. All that's left behind is micro tog and sea bass. And if we don't act soon, it's going to be too late. We've had Brian Williams from up in Ocean City has tagged a couple of these fish. They don't move. They come here in the summer and they stay within a mile or so of where they were. And that is it. Like literally don't move all summer. They stay, they get caught and released and they go right back to where they were and they stay there. They don't move. So these schools of sheephead are just not roaming all over South Jersey. It's just not happening. Now there's probably some out on some of the near shore reefs. There's probably some on the tips of these jetties and things where we're not seeing them and we're not targeting them actively. But until we have a better knowledge or better working knowledge of what the fishery is and what it's doing here in our state where we fish, it makes sense to kind of be a little less, what's the word I'm looking for? A little less overzealous when we're keeping fish. You know, it's just time to appreciate the fishery. And on that same comment that Quad mentioned, you know, I mentioned, hey, you know, people promote catch and release tarpon fishery all the time. People spend millions of dollars never to even hold a tarpon in their boat. Like they just touch a leader and they're okay with it. It happens. Listen, it's a mindset. It's all about changing the mindset. You know, they don't have to be a table fare food fish. You can go out here and catch kingfish on the beach. You can do all kinds of things. There's plenty of other better fish to eat and probably easier to catch and probably less money to spend. I mean, a lot of the gear is kind of specialized here. You know, you're using specific rods that you're not using for other stuff typically too. So I just think it's a good conversation to have. And we're taking the responsibility upon ourselves to try and make something happen. You know, we realize we may lose some followers and some listeners and such, and that's okay. You know, but this is our opinion, as Qua stated, and this is the action that we're putting into place for where we want to go with our podcast and what we're fishing for and everything else. So this is the message we're sending as far as the sheephead fishery and on a lesser scale, the triggerfish. You know, that wasn't something we brought up, but the folks on that meeting mentioned it. So it's on their radar as well. And now sheephead are, and we're going to keep putting the pressure on until something happens. And if we need to get more people involved, we have a little army of people that will grow and grow and grow to make sure we have these fish for our kids to fish for and everything else going forward. So.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have biologists that are set up just for these species. You know, we would love to. If there's a listener out there that's a biologist that's interested in trying to help us out, please reach out to us. You know, that's always a good thing. You know, the number wise, it's just from our experience. You know what I mean? Like I've been targeting for 5-6 years, and I'm gonna tell you 100%. 6 years ago, easily. We went out, there was no one fishing for him. Guaranteed, there's no one fishing for him. You know, me and Captain Dan Schaefer, you know, we'd go out, we'll easily pick off 20, 25 fish in a day. Like, not even trying, just having fun fishing. It's 25 fishes a day. 5 or 6 of those were well over 10 pounds, you know? And then if we didn't break off at least 5 or 6 big fish that day, it wasn't a good day. You know, it was that easy. You know, past few years, yeah, I go out now. I'm lucky if I could put more than 2 in a boat. You know, and these 2 they're not even the big specimens that we're used to. Now these 2 are like 5, maybe 6 pounds pushing it. You know, and we're getting a lot of like 2-3 pounders lately too. It's just they're not there. You know, the people say, well, they move. Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, they migrate. I'm not going to say they don't, but from my experience, they don't move much. Okay. They don't move much. And if they're there, they're there. They're not, then not. I mean, there's a migration in the fall that we're not going to speak about because that's something I'm never going to release to people. You know what I mean? And we figured out something the other day fishing with Captain Mike, and we're never going to release that information. that's something we can't let release to you guys. We love it. We love to help you guys become better anglers, but we feel responsible for, you know, putting out the secrets and the techniques and the tactics of catching these, you know, gorgeous fish. And like the responsibility catches up to us all the time. Like sometimes I'll sit a day and I'll just like, did I do the right thing by breaking down a whole podcast specifically for these fish? You know, before this podcast, no one knew how to do it. No one knew, had no idea what to do. You know what I mean? They're dropping dropper loop rigs for them, which is, you know, not something that occasionally you might get lucky and catch one, but like literally we did people a favor and literally broke it down exactly the technique. And you know what? I'm going to take full responsibility. You know, we are going to take responsibility that it's something that we shouldn't have unleashed. You know, like this is an open Pandora's box of what's going to happen to the fishery. Yeah, I used to believe, and Dan makes fun of me all the time when I say this, is like, yeah, you can tell people the technique, you can tell people the spots, but if they don't know how to do it, if they don't know how to catch them, you know, they're not going to catch them. And the fishery, but you know what? Past few month or two, yeah. Well, you know, I'm believing it now. You know, people are figuring it out. You know, using what the techniques that we taught, people are figuring it out. And we're seeing more and more and more of these fishes checked in at bait shops, you know, or the knife, the kill shots, the hero photos, you know what I mean? Not the good hero photos. We're talking about dead hero photos. You know, that's not something we promote.
Yeah. And then we're hearing folks are saying, you know, they're spearing on the bridges, keeping tons of sheep's head doing that. Like that's another way that they're just making some of these areas devoid of fish. You know, it's just, they're under assault at this point, just because of varying reasons, like we've mentioned, like the lack of quality fluke around in the bays. You know, the easier fisheries have gotten harder, and we're sitting here trying to find something to bring home to eat, and this is the next thing up. No, you know, togs out of season, so can't do that. You know, fluke event exited the bay, can't do that. Bluefish, you can only keep three fish, can't do that. So it's just it's like the perfect storm to kind of, you know, put this fishery at the forefront of people's minds, because A, it's still a pretty damn cool fish to catch around here, and B, there's no rules. I mean, you can do whatever the hell you want, which is what people are telling people to do, which is nuts. You know, exactly. You got people that are responsible in responsible positions, whether it be with a magazine or whether it be at tackle shops, saying, oh, they're unregulated, keep as many as you want. No, please, please, for the love of God, don't do that. You know, if you want to, I mean, do what you want. I mean, it is what it is. We can't tell you not to. However, if you're a responsible angler and you want to keep fishing for these fish, then you'll put them back. It's just that simple. You know, I like to catch more than I like the food. So it'll always be that way, no matter what I'm fishing for. So
what do you think, Dan, of this big, huge explosion of sheep's head fish in the past 5 years? What do you think it is? Like, how do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, obviously I love the fish. I'm part of that big sheep's head explosion in the last 5 years, because I haven't been doing it as long as you. I would say I've been doing it 3 or 4 years now, something like that. Yeah, 4 years. It's still a cool fish to catch. So a lot of people, you know, it's like a status type fish around here, which... and then we have some of our southern friends making fun of us, like, what the hell, guys, those fish are just like nuisance fish. It's funny how that works, you know. But you know, you had the perfect storm of fluke are moving more north in their migratory patterns, so we're seeing less good fluke down south. They're still there, but there's less good fluke down south in the bays. Striper regulations have gotten tighter. You have all these different fish regulations that have gotten increasingly more strict. So what does that mean? That means sheep's head are now the target number one, right? Because they're a decent food fish. And while we always thought, oh, well, people got to figure out how to catch them. Well, they did. They figured it out. You know, lots of people have figured it out. All you got to do is hop in a kayak or a boat and drop some yummy crustacean down and hope for the best. And, you know, it's not as hard as we hoped it would be for people to figure out, I guess, is the one thing. But then you had the pandemic, right? So a lot of people were cooped up. Last year, I saw more of an explosion of people from all over the place, you know, fishing the South Jersey waters. People that only fished up north are now coming down south for these fish, which is crazy because there's fisheries up in their neck of the woods and they don't even know it. But being we have, I guess, exploited this area to, in a sense, that the fish are down here, this is where they come. So I think it's just been a perfect storm of stricter regulations on other fish. It's a cool fish. The pandemic got a lot more people out. And then here we are, you know, it's just, it's like the perfect storm of a number of different things that cause us to be where we are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The explosion I've seen in the past few years, it's gone out of hand, you know, kayakers, they're just all over the bridges and pilings and everything. Just so many of them. It makes it ridiculous how to fish. Now there's certain areas that we know there's so many boats out there too, fishing for them. I don't know. I really don't know what's the future of this fishery. Like at this point, like I don't even want to go out for them. You know, yeah. I'm at a point, like I don't want to do it. Like it's just damaging, you know, but what can we do? You know, it's just something we're going to do from now on, something I'm going to do secretly. You know, I'm not going to exploit this fishery, you know, until I figure out what's going to happen next. Estimated numbers in these, I honestly don't know. Like there's a couple of locations that we know that hold walls of them, but they're nowhere near us. Okay. And then, I mean, I have divers reporting to me that there's, you know, certain areas that holds, you know, sometimes you'll see schools of 50 to 100, but do they come in? No, we don't know. We know nothing about this fishery. We know that all we know is our catch rates are getting lower. That's from our experience. And usually when catch rates are going lower means the fish aren't restocking as fast. You know, for instance, you could say one bridge holds maybe 10, 15 fish in a day. Okay. We know they move back and forth out from the jetties, out to the beach, out to the flats, wherever they may be. 10, 15 fish. You get three kayakers that camps out on that one bridge all day. You know, they're going to end up catching all 15 of those fish. You know what I mean? Because sooner or later, they're going to get hungry. And then you get the same kayakers or boats wandering around those pilings, keep dropping food down. They're going to get hungry and they're going to eat. And guess what? Those 15 fish that were sitting on those pilings are gone. You might get another small school moving in the following week or another week, but it's not like, no, we're not talking about like 50 to 100 fish in the school that's just dominating the bridge. You know, I mean, it's small 5-10 fish schools, you know, and if you guys keep picking them off, and when I'm talking about picking them off, you're picking the kids, you're picking the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents, you're picking the whole family off that piling, there's nothing left. Like if you're going to pick fish off, selective harvesting, guys. You know what I mean? Pick the smaller fish off. No, 2-3 pounders. That's fine. No one's complaining about that. But you guys, I'm seeing 9, 10, 11, 12 pounders on stringers. I was like, those are the powerful genetic genes, the big fish gene that we want to be put back, because those fish are going to reproduce into big fish. You know what I mean? So it's better. It's better that way. But, you know, like, we're not fishing game. We're not going to sit there and enforce every single rule because we can't, because we want to save this fishery. Not everyone thinks like us. You know, some people are just like, hey, I'm catching something. It's going on my dinner plate.
Yeah. I think education is the biggest key here. Like we have so much unknown with this fishery. It's not the time to just keep going and going and going and keeping as many as you want. Like that's the worst possible scenario, because we could learn that, you know, months or years from now that we severely damaged our New Jersey fishery without even knowing it. You know, it's not something that we have a lot of knowledge about, but we're working on it. We're trying to get tags on some of these fish and get some more return tags and things like that. And trying to learn more about their patterns from you know, those schools of fish we're seeing at in 60 feet of water, where do they go? Like, do they break up? Do they stay in those packs? You know, from my experience, from what I've read and things I've learned is those larger packs of fish just stay together. They don't like break off. So it's, you have some lone smaller packs of fish that are moving inshore, and that's the ones we've been catching. You know, if those fish disappear, are they going to be, you know, are those bigger schools of fish going to break up and come in? Probably not. I mean, that's not what they've been doing. They've been hanging out on the tips of these jetties or offshore piles and inshore wrecks and things like that. I mean, we saw some large fish caught in November last year from tog fishermen, you know, at some of the wrecks. So they're around, but at what numbers? We have no clue. And that's what we're trying to get help with. We're trying to get an idea of what we're dealing with. That way we know how to better move forward and hopefully get some regulations in place to protect the fishery. You know, like I said earlier, you know, there's lots of people spend lots of money and totally enjoy catch and release fisheries all over the world. There's no reason why us promoting sheep's head means that we're promoting people to eat them. You know, it's not that at all for us. You know, there's a lot of comments on that one string where we're congratulating the angler for releasing his 17.3 pound fish. And it just goes to show, like, there's a lot of lack of education out there on this fishery. And, you know, we want to be, I guess, good stewards and put our money where our mouth is and, you know, try and help protect these fish. So since we're partially to blame, we're going to change our ways as far as that goes and, you know, promote it less pictures, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's plenty of fish for us to talk about. You know, we love sheep's head, but we love them too much to continue to exploit them. So,
yeah. And yeah, for you guys out there that doubt that that 17 pounder was released, personally, Dan knows him, you know. Mm-hmm. A couple of captains I know, you know, Schaefer knows him. They know this guy, and he's good for it. You know, he has a big live well in his boat. You know, I mean, he catches, he fish. And the only reason he brought that fish in to weigh it because he thought it was a potential record breaker, state record, you know. And he even went to the extra extent of actually leaving it in his live well to come up for a quick weigh-in, and then he released it right at the dock. Okay, so that's perfect practice of catch and release, you know, even as a trophy fish, where most people would just throw it in their cooler, take it back to the dock, and then weigh it. And then at the end of that, like, okay, well, now I have a dead 17-pound sheep that's like, that could have been a potential state record in a year or two, but now it's just in my cooler that I'm probably going to either end up not eating it and tossing it because it's too big, or I'm just going to eat it. But, you know, it's just just think about it. So you catch a potential record-breaking fish, all right? You have a nice live well in your boat, throw them in there, keep them alive, take them in, weigh in, and then you release them. Who knows? Maybe 2 years down the line, your 12-year-old is going to be out there fishing with you, and he's going to catch this fish. But now this 17-pound fish is no longer 17 pounds. He grew to like 19 and a half. Hey, guess what? You just helped your 12-year-old break this state record that's been going on for God knows how many years of 19 pounds. Now he holds something in the books, you know, something that he's going to cherish the rest of his life. Hey, my dad took me out and I picked up the state record Jersey sheep. No. Then you think about it, like, maybe that fish was the one I released 2 years ago. You know what I mean? It's like, you guys got to remember, fishermen, we're great fishermen. We love the sport. We're doing it for a reason. If we were doing it for dinner every day, we'd be hungry. Okay. We're practicing this sport. We're fishermen because we enjoy it. It's our break away from reality of stress in the world or stress during day life and stuff like that. This is our escape. And it's the same thing. You want to preserve this for the future. You know, maybe some people don't have children, or, you know, for guys like Dan that has, you know, three great kids that loves the sport, you know what I mean? I want to see, you know, I want to see them grow up catching it. You know, I want to see his son, Lucas, when he hits 12, 15 years old, go back there and drags up an 18 pound sheep. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see him do that when the time's right. But if we don't take action now, we're not going to see this fishery go that far. I mean, at the rate we're going, if something's not done, I don't see this fishery lasting, because this sheepshead fishery has been around for at least 15, 20 years easily. You got to remember, they've been up in Sheepshead Bay for a very long time. That's the reason Sheepshead Bay is called Sheepshead Bay, New York, because they used to be loaded with sheepshead. Now, what's come of it? There's not sheepshead up there no more. There's the occasional few. Dan knows a guy that does really well up there. But yeah, even from him, it's like, you know, he's not going out every day guaranteed he's going to pick up one. You know what I mean?
He's dealing much like what we are now. And there is data out there that suggests that these fish return to the same exact place every year. So this 17.3 pound fish was caught where it was caught and released. Chances are that if that fish gets caught in like next year or the year after that, that's a record fish, you know, and it's going to be pretty close to where it was caught, somewhere in that general area, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. I can't verify that data. It's just things that I've read. You know, I've read that they kind of return to their old haunts every year. And if these fish are just moving offshore in the winter and coming right back in, well, that fish is going to go and on his normal trajectory to where he was before. So that's a special fish. I don't care what anybody says. That is a special fish. And and you could tell by the picture that it was still alive when he got the picture. There was no discoloration at that point. The fins weren't turning red, anything like that. So you could tell he cared well for that fish to get it to the docks. And I've talked to the gentleman who caught it before. I've fished next to him before. He's a good dude. So, and he catches a lot of big fish from my understanding. So, you know, it's not uncommon for him, but he thought he had something close to the record there. And he did. He really wasn't that far off. He said his lip grippers read over 18 pounds, which was still a little bit light on the record, but who's to say his lip grippers weren't off in the other direction. So he took good care of the fish and it was released. You know, we know the tackle shop owner, we had him on the show. I don't think he would steer us wrong as far as that goes. So yeah, I mean, it's a great fish, you know, that we want to see more of them. We want to see them go back. That's the thing. So we used to see several of those kind of fish, not that big, that's a brute, but several of those fish trip. Now it's not happened.
Yeah. And that same angler, from what I hear from other captains that I talk to, that man puts some big numbers. Like I've heard he's put a couple 15 pounders, a few 16s. This isn't his first 17 pounder, but he doesn't post every single fish. That's the thing. No, where he does or where he catches them, what he does, he keeps it super secret. And you know, we're at a point where, you know what, that's probably what's going to happen between our small group of fishermen, you know, that specifically targets these guys. You know, it's going to get to a point where we're literally not going to let anyone know anything anymore. And you know what, maybe it's a regret, maybe it's something we shouldn't have done. Yeah. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, it's too late now, but you know, maybe it's just something we, like me and Dan also says, you know, maybe it's just time for us to change our ways. You know, maybe we should just keep South Jersey a secret.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be forced to have to fish different areas, so we won't mention any of this kind of stuff anymore. You know, it's being our spots are fished out. What do we got to do? We got to adapt like anything else. So we'll be fishing new spots and finding these fish because we know how to find them. We know how to fish for them, and you know, it'll just be for us to enjoy, which is fine. I'm okay with that. You know,
I'm good with that. We thought we'd help the community by sharing a few things to make people better anglers, but in the end, we're hating the fish, where we're hurting the fishery that we love the most. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't know where these regs are going to go. We're working as hard as we can to try to push them. But, I mean, I think me and Dan, we came up with a reg that we think would be probably something decent. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, it's a long road for us to walk, and that's just something we're going to try. Now, if any of you guys are interested in helping out or just, you know, to do what you can, write to your registration. We'll keep people updated on when the next meetings are. All we need is just for people to show up, voice your opinions. You know, the more voices are heard, the more, you know, they'll know that people actually care. You know what I mean? Sure, not a million people out there care about sheephead like stripers or bluefish, but you know what I mean? It's like, hey, it's a fishery that's still new here. And we want the population to build. Like, here's an instant, like we know nothing about redfish, right? We know nothing about redfish in New Jersey, but hey, guess what? They have a regulation. You know what I mean? They have one fish. They have a regulation. Like, how hard is it? Then they say that, well, we can't regulate sheephead because it's not a targetable fish. Well, apparently.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's targetable. If a guy can drag 12 fish on a stringer, that's 100% targetable.
Yeah.
But they're saying redfish is a targetable species and that you gave them a regulation. You gave speckled trout a regulation. You know what I mean? They group it into the same thing as weakfish. But you know what I mean? Like, why does weakfish, why does redfish get regulated here, but sheephead don't? Two states below us, they're regulated. No, Delaware doesn't have a regulation, but Virginia, Maryland, anything below those state lines, they all have regulated. Why them?
Delaware didn't have a regulation for cobia until last year either. So they're a little lax on their regulations as well. So they're not a good example for us. But mm-hmm. You got Maryland, who has a pretty fair sheephead fishery, different parts of the state. And then you have Virginia, which have great numbers. They're regulating these fish. These fish are normal fish down there and they have regulations in place. Whereas we have, you know, this fishery that's been around, it's been a healthy fishery for years. And it's not, I'm not saying it's not healthy now. I don't know. That's the problem. We don't know. And what we don't know, we don't know. So it just comes down to us trying to get more information to see if we're doing right. You know, if we're harming the fishery, you know, and it's just about trying to get more education out to the anglers to have them make better choices. You know, we can't force you to make the choices we want you to. We can only educate you and get you the information that we see as we're a little more tied in with certain things. It just makes sense to try and get ahead of it. Because right now it's difficult to catch these fish. We're still catching them. They're still out there. We know how to catch them. It's just a matter of, it's not what it used to be. And if you've ever heard that before about like the weak fish and Fortescue and everything, we don't want to go down that road. That's the biggest thing. So.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess that's, we're going to start wrapping this up and that's our opinions, you guys. Now, like I said, take it as you guys want to take it. On my behalf, you know, like if I talk to you on either Facebook or Instagram and I told you, you know, I promised to take you guys out for sheephead, you know, like I'm at a point where it's just something I'm going to have to stop because it's just over promoting the fishing of these fish. Like, I don't blame everyone that, you know, you guys are all, you know, meat eaters and kill and throw everything on the plate and eat it. You know what I mean? Not everyone's like that. We're not blaming the whole community. You know, we're blaming, you know, for us, it's just the few that just take the regulations a little bit overboard. You know, just because they're non-regulated doesn't mean you have to go out there and fill your cooler full of them. You know what I mean? That's just how we think about it. So,
and on top of that, like it's, feel free to reach out to us. If you have a differing opinion, please reach out to us, send us a message and let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, if let's say, you know, more than we do, send us a message, have a conversation with us. We're open to that. We're not perfect. We're sitting here saying we don't know. And that's the biggest problem. Like the biggest problem is the lack of knowledge on this fishery here. You know, that's what we're looking to gain in a quick period of time. And that's going to be the problem. You know, if we let it lax too long, are we going to lose this fishery? We don't know. That's the thing. We want to get more education ourselves and be able to put that out to anglers so we can have better choices and have a better fishery that's left behind for us and for our children and their children. That's the biggest thing.
All right. Well, sounds good. Go ahead, Dan. You want to try wrapping this one up?
Well, thanks again for tuning in. We appreciate it as always. It's a little bit of a different episode, more of a somber mood, which we'll be back to normal next week. We appreciate everybody that tunes in. You can find us on Facebook at Tide Chasers Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Tide_Chasers. Me and Qual both all have our own personal handles as well. That's always want to be a part of the taglines. Beyond that, yeah, man, go out there and catch some fish and help us get some education out there on these fish and help this movement go along. We really could use some smart regulations for these fish and get some more education so we all know what we're up against. Thanks again for tuning in. Tight lines, everybody.
Yeah, tight lines, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you on the next episode.